about that is because, hey, we are at the Christmas season and the pressure is on. How many of you feel the pressure this time of year to get that perfect gift, right? Or hoping that you're going to get that perfect gift, the one I've been waiting for all year long. I've been waiting to get that gift. So what better time to talk about biblical concepts to our finances than this time of year? So I want to sort of begin because, listen, I know, right, I just mentioned to you about Black Friday. How many of you got crazy? So I've got a few pictures up here about Black Friday because I know some of you were out during Black Friday. So the first one is, see if that picture's up there, of Black Friday. Maybe that was you. I think I saw a few of you in this picture here, right? So Christmas time, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the masses are out getting the good deals. How many of you got some good deals? Anybody get any good deals, right? How many of you actually got out there in the craziness? All right. I know a lot of you are not raising your hand because you're like, I don't know about that. Well, while you were out there doing that on Black Friday, I was doing this. All right. So this was my Black Friday. Steve did whoop on me in golf. I didn't play too well. Right. Or maybe this was you, right? I think I saw a few of you in this next picture, Black Friday. So look at this. The lines. It's got to be like 2 o'clock in the morning, lined up. I don't know what Macy's, what they're giving away. There's a bank over there. I don't know. This was definitely not me, so maybe this was you. I think I see a couple of you over here. Well, while you were doing that, this was me on Black Friday, right? So, yeah. All right, go to the next one real quick. So I did have to run out real quick. So, you know, we had to get a few candles. So I did have to get out into this mess. How many of you sat in traffic getting out all day long on Friday? I said, well, I'll wait a little longer. I'll get out there and pick up a few things for the church. And listen, I am so glad that we preached about driving last week and how we deal with those issues because I found myself really on the verge. It wiped me out. So when I got home, then I was doing this. This was me. Yeah, that was my Black Friday. So that was just funny. Just funny, funny, funny. But I believe there's a couple of issues and subjects that are in God's Word. It's very tough and difficult to talk about. One of them is sexual immorality. We're not going to talk about that today, so go, oh, okay, whew, thank you. We'll make sure that the time is right. And the other one is money. Let me tell you why. So if I stand up here as your pastor and say, hey, today we're going to talk about money. I have been where you're at, and this is what happens. You sit there and you say, uh-oh, pastor's talking about money. Oh, they must be doing bad financially. Or maybe the pastor needs a raise, or he's got another project he wants to do. I know they want more of my money, right? Because that was my idea and my thought. Because most of the time in churches I've been part of, when they begin to talk about money and talk about finances, there is something the church is either wanting to do or they found themselves in a place of maybe debt and they're trying to get out. We're not there. Because let me tell you why I chose now to talk about money. It's because of this. We are debt-free as a church. Okay? We have money in a savings account and money in an emergency fund and money in a project fund. Right? And I want you to know that the anticipated giving, when I look at, okay, this many people, this church, what's the anticipated giving of the church? We are about $75,000 above and beyond that in giving on a yearly budget. So, right, we're doing well. Financially, as a church, we're doing what we're supposed to do. I look at us in growth, our growth. Here's a chart. Put that chart up there. Let me show you what church growth is like. This is from Ed Stelzer's church planning and survivability. What is the survivability of a church plant in our country today? If you notice here, this is the attendance. So basically, after year one of a new church plant, the average attendance across America, right, in all denominations, is about 40 to 42. Okay? After 2 years, we're up there to about 58. After 3 years, 73. And then after 4 years, you're almost up there to 90. I want you to know that Live Church, right, for the last 4 weeks, we have been over 140 people in attendance. So what does that say? I'm not saying that because, oh, look, we've got a lot of people because I know how pastors are. All right. Those of you who have worked, they sit around the table, right? They're going to their conference and they're sitting there like, so how's your church doing? What's the first way? How do they answer that? Steve, what's the first thing they say? What do they say? Oh, yeah, we got 140 people, right? I bet. Hey, I know. That's how it works. So what happens is a lot of times we look at the value, right, survivability, and how well we're doing as a church by the number of people who are sitting in the seats. That is not me. I do not look at our mission and how great we're doing as a church, but how many people are sitting in the seats is how many people are we touching in their lives that we're touching outside the walls of the church. Church for me is not about getting people in the seats and taking the money. I had someone tell me one time, say, hey, you know what? If you want to have a church that really understands giving, you teach on it one time and don't talk about it anymore. So that's what we're going to do. And the reason I'm talking about money today is because we are not at a place where I'm up here asking you to give your money because we need it. The idea and principle is Jesus, out of the 38 parables that he taught, he talked 16 were about money, finances, and possessions. The number one subject that Jesus talked about more than anything else was about money, finances, and possessions. Why? So here's the question I want to ask you today. How many of you want to be a giver? Okay, come on, I'm going to ask it again. Get my water here. How many of you want to be a giver? One more time, I want to get 100% of you because this is very important at the end of the message today. How many of you want to be a giver? Yes, we all want to be a giver. So today's message is going to be a little different. I've heard these messages preached many ways, so I'm going to take a totally different approach at it. For preachers, there's different ways of preaching. There's the prophetic preaching where they get up here and they just open their mouth and the Holy Spirit pours through them. There's teaching where you go through a systematic way. There's the ways of going line by line through God's Word. But today, I want to get practical. So now, can I get practical with you today? Because over the next several weeks, we're going to take the practical look at our money, our finances, our possessions, and what does God tell us that we're supposed to be doing with them. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about that subject and that word that really people don't like to hear too much about tithing. Right? I don't know, that's what you want them tithing church. We'll talk about tithing. Again, you just want my money. No. I don't want your money. The church doesn't want your money. Guess what? I got a secret for you. You may not know this. This may be a surprise, but God doesn't need your money. Right? Right? Somewhere he's got a hill with like 1,000 cows on it somewhere. So I think that's probably more than we all got combined. But God doesn't need our money. What God wants is a surrendered heart. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a surrendered heart. So today, let me give you a few practical statistics about money, because we're going to be looking at some of what Jesus said and some of what Paul said. And you got to know that when Jesus taught these parables, many times as he taught these parables, he was talking to a people who were poor, a people who were impoverished. Rome had levied a 90% tax rate on the people of Israel, and most of them really didn't have a whole lot, making it day in and day out, going to work in the morning, hoping they get enough to feed themselves in the evening. But yet Jesus talked 16 out of 30 parables. He talked about money. I read an article because I like football. I play fantasy football. I don't play I don't pay no money, just so you guys know that, right? Somebody writes me an email. But I do play fantasy football. I like football. I like watching football. I like the Patriots when they're winning. Right, I jump on the bandwagon when somebody else is winning. I'm just one of those guys, right? But I read an article that talked about NFL players. Do you know what the average salary over 3 years for an NFL player is? Zamir, you'd like this, right? It's $2.1 million. $2.1 million. Zamir, you mean your friends, right? All right, don't forget me. It's good to have our college students home. So Jonathan's home. Yes, Lindsay is home. Zamir is home. This is Zamir. You know, he's a little guy. He likes football a little bit too. And he roughs them up out there. I tell you, I've seen him. He beats them up. But the average salary over 3 years of an NFL player is $2.1 million. And they usually last 3 to 5 years in the NFL. 2 years, right? 78% of NFL players after leaving the NFL after 2 years are broke. Completely broke. In debt. Why is that? Why? What has happened Let me tell you what's happened. Right? You take some young people, they probably have a lot of pride, not Zamir now, Zamir's very humble, but a lot of pride, you give them a lot of money, they don't know how to handle it. Maybe that's why Jesus talked a lot about it. Maybe that's why God's Word tells us a lot about how we're supposed to handle the finances and being stewards of what He's given us. Right? So we're going to read a few scriptures today. I'm going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Then later on we're going to look in Luke. So the message this morning is, how much stuff is enough? And I want to tackle this question today. How much stuff is enough? Because like I said before, God doesn't need our money, so what do we have? So let's begin to read here in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 6. Now here Paul is writing this letter to a young man named Timothy. We know that. He's given him some very specific instructions. So here is an older Paul, right, who is an apostle, a church planner. He writes those letters. And here's a younger Timothy who's about to become walking in the same shoes that Paul's walking. He's going to leave him at a church, right? He's going to have him study there. He's going to travel some with him. But here he is giving him some very specific instructions. And the first thing he says, I want to read to you in chapter 6. He's telling Paul, he says, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. This is what he's saying. He's saying godly people who are content always feel blessed. But godly people who are not content never feel like they have enough. So I've asked myself a lot of questions because I have lived through this process. I've learned to be content with what God has given me. And it was a process and a struggle of working through that in my life. And I almost guarantee that many of you sitting out there today probably have that same idea or those same issues in your life and in your heart. I know what it's like to live check to check. I know what it's like to wake up in the morning and my mother go to the cupboard in the cabinet and say, well, honey, we don't talk to my dad. We don't have anything today. Okay, well, let me get out there and see if I can't find something. Let's pray that God will provide. He always provided. He always met the needs that we have. And I've told you before, I didn't grow up poor. I grew up po. So poor, I didn't can afford the O and the R on the word poor. So I understand. And I also know what it's like to be blessed by God. Above and beyond anything I could ever imagine or think. And the test in our life comes, right, not when we are at our lowest or we're not meeting the needs. The test in our life really comes when we're over, we've got more. When God blesses us with more is when the real test in our life begins to come. So Paul is talking about contentment, and I want to talk a little bit about that today, about being content. Let's continue reading here, because Paul says that godliness with the feelings that I have enough, that I'm content with what I have, is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. We didn't bring anything in here, we're not going to take anything with us. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So let me ask you a question. Do you know anyone, right? Like I said, today's going to be practical, so don't fall asleep on me now. I'll come shake you. It's going to be practical. Do you know anyone who's ever chased after those get-rich-quick schemes? Right? Don't raise your hand if you're one of them. All right? Or, hey, get caught up in the I need more. If only I had this, I would be happy. If only I made this much more money, I'd be happy. If only I had this particular car, I would be happy. We need to check ourselves and our hearts. Don't you say this real quick, because I'm watching your faces this morning. Say, Pastor Shannon, say it. Come on, Pastor Shannon. We love you. I love you too. Let's keep going. All right. Let's jump down to verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now let's stop here for a second. Because I believe there is some false ideology and doctrine in the churches. Because I also grew up in a time, right, many of you may have too, in the charismatic name it and claim it church. right? Where the topic was preached on faith every single week. Faith, 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 faith. Right? God, all you got to have to do is have faith and believe to have that Cadillac. God's going to give you that Cadillac. I never got a Cadillac. All right? I got a Pinto. If you just believe and have faith, God wants you to be rich. And that's what I grew up in. But that's not what God is saying. What Paul is telling Timothy is, don't get caught up in the riches and the haughtiness of the riches. Be content with where you are and where God has you. Because some of us, He has us there for a reason. He has us there for a purpose. And some of the false teaching in the church today, the other part, other church I grew up in, we went from one extreme to the other, right? If you want to be like God and you want godliness, then you got to be poor. You can't have anything. Because it's my grandmother talking now. It's my grandmother, old school primitive Baptist. She was back there. You can't have anything. If you're poor, then you're closer to God. If you're rich, you're not. Well, that could be true, right? It depends on where our heart is. But that's not what God is telling us. This is not what we're reading here today. The idea of what we're talking about, right, is stewardship. It's the idea of being a good steward of what God has given you. Let's keep reading here. Let's go down to verse 18. He said, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Let me tell you what stewardship is. If you think you own the stuff, then you'll lay awake at night worrying about how to hang on to it. But if God owns your stuff, you'll sleep well at night. I want to sleep well at night. Don't you want to sleep well at night? The four of you do. The rest of you, you know what? I'll let you see my doctor. She'll help you. The idea is that God owns everything. And you hear me say up here, being a good steward is God owns it. God is in control of it. You and I are stewards of what God has given us. And if we are faithful stewards, if we're good stewards, and if we learn to be content where God has us, then He will bless us with more for the purpose of being the good steward of more. Like I said, He doesn't need our money, but let me tell you something. You guys have stepped it up, because when we call for this, right, Maria says, you know, maybe we shouldn't, ask them to give more at Christmas, because we've asked the folks to give and to give and to give. I'm like, no, let's ask them to give a little bit more. Why? Because as we're giving, we're blessing someone else. And in return, if you're giving with a cheerful heart, God will bless you. God will bless and give you more to keep giving, because God owns it. And my prayer is that God will speak to you and tell you what to give and when to give it, and that you're obedient. Not because we want your money, not because the church needs your money, it's because God wants to bless you, teach you to be content with what you have, so that you surrender your heart to Him, because He is in control. We're not. But some of us try to sometimes, right? We try to be in control. Well, let me tell you, when we moved to Mississippi, I've said this many times, the story is that, you know, Lord just pulled me to the side and just spoke to my heart. I couldn't deny it. Could not deny it. I tried and I tried and I struggled and I fought. I almost knew what it was like when Jacob was wrestling the angel. That's the way I wrestled. And I went and told Marissa, this is what God's telling me to do. I don't know what it looks like. I have no clue. I don't know what the next step is. I just know we got to take it. So we moved. No money, no house, no job. You've heard me. We've talked about this before. And something happened, because all of a sudden I stopped putting my faith in the people around me, and I started putting my faith in God. I began to trust Him to be content with where He had me. And I began to work. God provided the work. God provided the jobs. And all of a sudden, you know, working in construction and part-time in the church, bad things happened, and boom, here we were, up to debt. I was foolish with my jobs. I didn't do things the right way, and we just ended up in a very tough situation. So I went and I sat down with my spiritual father, Pastor Gene, as we know is going to be with the Lord. I sat down with him and just began to pour my heart out and talk to him there in his office. And he says, well, son, he says, let me ask you a question. He says, what is your circle of contentment? What do you mean? He says, well, let me ask you a few questions. How much money do you make right now? I said, well, I make this much. I'd like to make more. No. How much do you make? Right? How much do you believe in giving? I said, yeah. Do you believe in tithing? Yes. What do you have left over when you give and you tithe? This. Are you content to live with that? Because if you're content to live with that, your contentment is with God. He'll bless you with more. And then he says, I want to ask you some 6 practical questions, all right? And I want to ask you those questions this morning, all right? Here's those questions he asked me. He says this, because we had just bought a house while we were there. We just bought a house. He says, what size home do we really need? In other words, I'm going to ask you the same questions. What size home do you really need? So what do we got up here? What's the next picture we have, right? So you have to ask yourself, right? What size home do we really need, right? Is it the one on the left, right? Look at it. Everybody say, hey, well, this one over here. Look at that. The pool. And look at, oh, man, 3 floors. Man, that's awesome. There's just 2 of us, right? And the chances are one of you is going to get lost in that house over there. It's going to take a week. If Maria's going to get lost, right, it's going to take me a week to find her. But, yeah, I need something a little bigger than this because, you know, that's what, a sink, a bed, a refrigerator, and that's it, right? But the practical question is we have to ask ourselves, right, how much is enough? What are we thinking in our minds the next step in life should be? When it comes to homes, right, many of us are like, yeah, well, it's time to downsize. This home's too big, right? Awesome, downsize. And somebody's like, well, we need a bigger house because, you know, we got 5 kids sleeping in 1 single bed. Yeah, you probably need a little bit bigger of a house. Here's the next question he says. He says, what type of transportation is adequate, right? So here we got this kind of transportation here, right? So we got these 2 cars, right? So we've got this one over here. How many of you love to have this car? I mean, listen, Stephen, you'd be so cool driving in that right there. The wind blowing your hair. Of course, you wouldn't blow your hair. It's stiff. But wind blowing your hair and, right? You're driving by and the girl's like, woo, they got to go to Stephen, right? Or you could have been like me and drive. This was mine, right? When we got married, this is actually in better condition than the car that Maria and I had, right? Ford Tempo, which was really found on the side of the road dead most of the time. Yeah, I can tell you the best way you can save some money on your car, take the one you have right now, take $100, go detail that thing, get a little work done on it, get one of those air fresheners in there, and don't go look at new cars. Listen, I did this. I went and looked at new cars, and I got inside and I went, whoo, the new car smell is drugs, right? Because I'm telling you, you smell that, it's all of a sudden, whoo, I got to have that. My car don't smell like that. Mine smells like French fries that were left over from a week ago. Here's the third thing. What household items need to be replaced in your home? There's no pictures up there, so look at me. The reason I say that is because I think sometimes we, in being a good steward, you should go through your home and look at what items do we have in our home, what's 15 years old, what might need to be replaced. Maybe we should start saving, because here's one of the biggest problems and issues that people face. They spend the money they should be saving in case a household item breaks down, and then all of a sudden, they don't know where that money went, the refrigerator breaks, and then you're down there at Home Depot or Lowe's looking for a refrigerator, right? And how much they cost? Woo! As much as my first car. Next thing you know, what happens? You're going into debt. And let me tell you something. Debt, you're a slave to. That's why we talk about this now, because Life Church is not in debt. I learned the hard way what it means to be in debt and what it means not to be in debt. Let me just throw this out to you. Where's Bill? Is Bill sitting back there somewhere? Where's Bill? In February, I don't know if you know what Financial Peace University is all about, but we're going to do a class. There's Bill right there. Bill and Diana are going to kick that thing off in February. And at the end of these talks, I'm going to give you an opportunity to sign up. If you're not sure what the word budget means or emergency funds, there are some practical principles in God's Word that will help us with our finances. And the Financial Peace University class is a class of, what is it, 12 weeks? 9 weeks. I like things going a lot longer. We're going to go longer today, by the way. I just want you to know that. 9 weeks of learning the principles, biblical principles of managing our finances. Because let me tell you something. You said earlier, I want to be a giver. I want to be a giver. But it's hard to be a giver when you find yourself in debt. And many of us are. Every one of us have been in debt or in debt right now, probably working all we can to pay that debt off. And my prayer is that you will pay that debt. And God's going to bless you and give you more so that you're content with what you have so that you can keep giving. Because many times we've wanted to give and give, but we weren't because we were in debt. It's quiet. Told you, this is a hard subject to talk about in churches. Here's another question, right? How often should we eat out? In other words, Shannon, how often should you be eating out? Right? Because let me tell you about our foolishness, our mistakes, right? Let me tell you our mistakes. This is us. So let me tell you what happened. So there we were. I learned to be content with what I had, down to my last job, right? The last bit of money in the bank, right? The debt was up to here, not knowing what I'm going to do. I fell on my face and said, God, I'm supposed to be the man of my home and take care of it. I don't know what to do. I need work. Ring, 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 ring. Hello? Hey, let's do lunch. God was talking to somebody else at the same time. So as I was surrendering my heart to him, another gentleman calls me up and says, hey, I need some help. I need somebody to do some construction work for me. Let me tell you what happened. I started working with him, just building a few things here and there. Next thing you know, I'm the design engineer for Tellus Oil Company in Mississippi, making more money than I thought any person should ever make in their entire life. And let me tell you what I did. No, hold your claps now. Joseph's clapping because they had the best Christmas they ever had. The year before that, they got a stocking full of fruit, a few pencils, and some school items that we had left over from the giving away to the schools. Right? The next year, they're wanting all kind of stuff. Right? But here's what we did, right? We had more, so we ended up becoming content with more instead of becoming content where we were. We were eating out four times a week. Listen, let me tell you how I lost weight. I lost weight because the driver's side window on my minivan didn't work. So I couldn't drive up to McDonald's and Burger King and Dairy Queen and everybody else. I'd have to open the door to get out, and I felt like a fool doing it. So I said, well, I'm not even going there anymore. I lost 15 pounds. So my prayer for many of you today is that your window would stop working on your car. Here's another question. What type of vacations and trips are enough for our family? Listen. Family pressures are great. And if your kids believe that the only vacation that's real is to Disney, let me tell you, you can drive down the road, pack a picnic basket, because vacations are about making memories with your family. And if we're learning, if you can afford the vacation, you're saving your money up to go to Disney, amen, do it. Go. Enjoy it. But don't put yourself in debt to make a memory. Make a memory within the circle of contentment where we're supposed to be. Oh me, Pastor. Oh me. I like Disney. I like Hershey Park too because there's chocolate everywhere. Number six, how should we save, or how much should we save for emergencies? Now, these are practical questions that I had to ask. And it's a very practical way of looking at life. But if God's word is telling us to not chase after riches, but be content with where he has us, maybe we should heed that. Maybe we should think about it and actually, as a church, begin to teach the biblical principles of money. Because what happens is a church that teaches that and people in a church that grabs a hold of them and get to understand, the church will continue to be blessed more and blessed more and blessed more. And let me tell you what happens. The more we're blessed, the more we want to give. Everybody said, I want to be a giver. And the more you're giving to the community, the more lives you're touching, the more you're helping people put food on their table, because I know what it's like to not have it. What happens now is you get the name of Jesus Christ is being spread by what you're doing. But we do not need to be held captive and slave to debt and finances in our life. We need to be free to do what God wants us to do. And what happens to that? Then people start coming to the church and saying, hey, why are you giving this stuff away? How can the church building that little be doing so much? I want to know what's going on. Then they walk through the doors. Then they decide to come and worship with us, and the church grows. That was the idea from day one of Life Church. We're not going to get caught up within the four walls of the church. We're taking the gospel to Jesus Christ, to the community, by meeting the needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. That's who we are. And we can't be free to do that if Satan is holding us captive with our finances, right, in debt. So do you understand why it's important? Do you understand why I'm pouring my heart out, right? And I'm sort of laying it out there for you, because you can walk away today and say, hey, Pastor talked about money. Ooh, don't go to that church. They're going to talk about money. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let me tell you something. I watched the nature around us. When I lived in Mississippi, there were times it was very, very dry and really, really hot. Dry times. All of a sudden, a great storm would come. And the storm, right, it's blowing, the wind is blowing. We think this tornado's coming. All of a sudden, the rain begins to fall. It was in the midst of a great storm that the rain began to water the earth. My question this morning is, for many of us, what are we doing in the midst of a great storm, a financial storm in our life, and is God pouring His rain out upon us? Godliness with contentment is great gain. So I asked you earlier, right, how much stuff is enough? And the reason I'm asking you that is because, listen, I love you. I know you love me because you told me you did. Thank you. We have a church, a house sitting over here, right? It's not going to take a whole lot to get that thing up and running. But let me tell you what that could become. That can become a lighthouse of hope. That house can be used, right, as a beacon of hope, a place for ministry to happen. I know this. I know that there's going to be families within our church. I know there's going to be families that we know that are going to have a need. They're going to need things. We're going to raise our hand and say that we're going to be a giver. I'm going to call you to be a giver. In other words, when you leave today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back and ask yourself those questions. I'll put the message online today so you can listen to it. Ask yourself those questions again. Am I content within the circle? Am I living within the circle of contentment? Have I surrendered all of this to Jesus Christ? Have I surrendered it to God? Am I able to be a giver to help meet the need when someone needs it? Go home and go through your home and say, well, you know what? I really don't need that. I really don't need that. Well, I haven't even touched that in over years. I know I don't need that. And begin to label it. And all of a sudden, when someone needs a need, God will come to you and say, hey, here's someone who needs a need. Why don't you give that away? Are you willing to do that? Let me tell you something else. I keep telling these stories, but I remember one time about giving, right? Married a few months. We're overseas on the island of Crete. I'm serving in the military there. And there was a friend of mine who was the pastor of the church that we were attending. He came to me one day and said, I need you to pray. Pray, 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 pray for me. Why? My wife has had to go back to the States because she's having complications with a pregnancy. He goes, and we've used every bit of the money that we have to get her over there, the family back, and the hospital, and the stay, and the hotels. I got nothing. I need to get over there with my family. But I got no money to get over there. Will you pray that God will help meet that need? Oh, yeah, sure, let's pray. Yeah, okay. So we prayed. And as we're praying, the Lord said to me, give this much money to this man. I'm like, whoa, whoa, hold on, God, hold on. That's a little too much for this young little guy here now. Give this much. You said you're going to follow me. You be obedient. And you give. So I came home. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll come home and tell Maria. And if she agrees, right? If she agrees with me, because I know my wife now. I'm telling you. She's a younger woman now. I know. So Maria's what the Lord told me to do. What? What? Those of you who know her, right? What? He didn't tell you that. I don't think he told you that. They said, yeah. Well, she says, I don't trust you, but I trust God in you. If that's what He told you to do, do it. That was tough for me to hear, right? I don't trust you, but I trust God in you, right? We're just married. She trusts me now, right? I trust her 99% of the time. So I did. I gave away the money, right? Because the Lord told me to act. Pray, but act. Right? We found ourselves with no money to get to where we needed to go. We're sitting in this hotel room, right, about to get on a plane the next day to head out, and we've got no money in our bank account when we get to where we're supposed to go because old Shannon boy gave it all away. And we're sitting there, and a knock came on the door. And a couple came in. And they said, we just want to say bye. We want to love on you. We want to tell you bye. And they stayed. It's getting late. They brought their kids. They were in there sleeping in our bed. And it was like 11:30, 12 o'clock, 12:30. I'm like, these people got to leave now. I love them, but we got to get up early. And the husband says, I have a question. God just told me to ask you, how much money do you have to get back to the States? Now, you know me, right? This prideful man. We're all set. Well, God takes care. No. How much? Let me see your checkbook. Let me see your checkbook. And he grabbed it and says, how much you have? And she began to cry. We've got nothing. That's why God told us to come here. And they wrote us a check, three times the amount of money that we gave away. See, God blessed because we had to learn to give, to be content within the circle, to understand how much is really enough. Are we being good stewards with what God has given us? I want to end this message. Jonathan, you can come today. I want you to grab this. Because I asked a question earlier, do you want to be a giver? You have to ask yourself the question, how much is enough? Am I living within the circle of contentment? So what I want to do is I want to ask you here, I'm going to read a scripture, a passage of scripture to you, and I didn't put it up here on purpose because I want you to sit there for a moment. I want you to hear the music. I want you to close your eyes. I want to read this scripture over your life. This is what God told me to do. He said, talk about the tough subject. Talk about what it means to be content. Talk about how much is enough. Talk about the principles that I've put in my word. You talk about it, I'll take care of the rest. And I'm being obedient. He says, pray this, read this over the church. So I'm going to read this passage from Luke chapter 12. So Jesus, as he stood in front of this group of people, he was looking at people that were poor, but yet they were consumed with stuff. They were consumed because the Romans had all this stuff. The Greeks had all of this stuff. And in their mind, in their eyes, they're seeing people with all of this stuff. And here they were impoverished. They didn't have anything. And he says, it doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're rich. God wants to know, does he have your heart? Jesus began to say this to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, yet God feeds everyone. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of his life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? He says, oh, you of little faith, do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that will not grow old, with the treasures in heaven that will not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For even where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Can I pray for you this morning? Question is, do you believe that? Do you believe those words that Jesus spoke in your life today? Is the circle in your life? Is there contentment in the circle that God has given you? Question was, how much stuff is enough? Would you stand with me this morning? I know it's quiet. It's not one of those romping, jumping prophetic messages. But I want you to know the reason that there are some tough subjects in God's Word. I will not shy away from any of them. Because I've lived it. And I understand by living what God wants me to be. He wants us to live according to his word. And this whole idea, let me tell you something. The whole idea about how much is enough, or right, money and finances. You know what the whole idea is? The big idea is this. Does God have your heart? Does he have your heart on Black Friday? Does he have your heart on Christmas? Is this season that we're spending now on Christmas, is it all about giving the stuff and getting the stuff? Or is our heart surrendered to Him, knowing that He's already given us everything that we need? He says to love Him with all of our heart, our soul, strength, everything's within us, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. All right, one more time. Say, Pastor Shannon, I love you. Listen, next week we're going to tackle another tough subject, tithing and giving. What's God's word say about it? What are we supposed to do? And I want you to know, as we talk about these things, I'm not here to force you, coerce you, or make you feel guilty in doing anything. Like I said, God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. Right? And where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Amen. So I want to pray right now, dismiss you today. Love you guys. And our prayer team will be here if you need prayer about anything in your life, right? If it's about the subject today, about contentment, if that's what it's about, awesome. If it's a sickness, if something going on, you need prayer, please come today for prayer. Let me pray for you right now and dismiss you today. Father, we thank you for your word. I know, God, your word is tough on us sometimes, God, but you want our heart. You want a surrendered heart. You are our shepherd. You want us to be led by you. We must follow. How much stuff is enough, God? Whatever you've given us at this moment in our life, we are content with and we will live. So, God, that we can be blessed to give unto others as you see fit. So today, God, we love you. You have our heart. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.